In the name of Jesus. Lord, thee I love with all my heart. So easy to sing those words. It's good to stand here in Kramer Chapel and sing those words. Words that tell everyone around us that Jesus comes first in our lives, in our hearts, and he comes before everyone and everything else. That's the easy part. The hard part, living the words, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. We hear in today's text the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Man's problem is very easy to see in this text. But when it comes to other gods, it's as easy as falling off a log to get this wrong. For the other gods surround us. They entice us to look first to them, put our trust in them, depend on them, hold on to them. And I'm not just talking about the world's favorite idol of mammon. For we are each capable of making just about anything our God. Our name, our fame, our family, our favorite pleasures. This is an appropriate text for these final days of Michaeltide. As we hear again and again what it means to live as the church militant. For Satan's days are numbered, and he's stepping up the ferocity of his attack on the bride and the saints. So the saints are surrounded by very attractive false gods who would have us look to them and put our trust in them. That's Satan's goal in these end times, to become first under some guise. And it is exactly the opposite of what God is commanding in today's text. Another reason why this text fits perfectly at this point in the church year is that even the church has had other gods. That's what the Reformation was about. For the church had put any number of other gods like hope and works before Jesus. Jesus was nowhere to be found in his own church. Now, today's hymn is a type of exposition and application of today's Deuteronomy reading. And such a use of a great hymn has been common in Lutheran pastors even from the earliest days of the Reformation. They preached the hymn from the pulpit. Lord, thee I love with all my heart can only be the response of the baptized singer standing back and beholding all that God has done in Christ. Thy precious blood my soul has bought. This hymn is the faithful, not only responding in thanksgiving and praise to the rich bounty of eternal gifts, but it's the faithful knowing how to pray. What are they praying? For exactly what the commandment in today's text requires, that our whole heart and all of our confidence be given to God alone and no one else. Listen to the Large Catechism. True worship and service of God takes place when your heart directs all its trust and confidence only toward God and does not let itself be torn away from him. It consists in risking everything on earth for him and abandoning it all for his sake. Our hymn says, earth has no pleasure I would share without Jesus. Yea, heaven itself would be void and bare if the Lamb were not there. It would be like a church before the Reformation without Jesus. It would be like when our lives and things go wrong, and instead of fleeing to our Lord, we flee from him to something else. This glorious hymn is in the trust section of the hymnal for good reason. It says what our Lord wants us to hear. Whenever you suffer misfortune and distress, reach out to me and hold on to me. I, and I alone, will satisfy your need in every trouble. So the saints sing, and should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in thee can nothing shake. Forsake me not, I trust thy word. First commandment is also about recognizing from whom we receive all that is good. Our Lord wants us to recognize him as the one who wants to help us and is eager to richly lavish upon us every good thing. So we sing, yea, Lord, 'twas thy rich bounty gave my body, soul, and all I have. Lord, grant that I in every place may glorify thy lavish grace. The hymn also sings of who delivers us from whatever is evil. Let no false doctrine me beguile. Let Satan not my soul defile. Give strength and patience unto me to bear my cross and follow thee. The wonderful conclusion of this hymn is the famous stanza 3. Johann Sebastian Bach concludes his St. John Passion with these words. For he here brings all of what the incarnation and the atonement were about to our final moment on earth. The first two stanzas are the lifelong sung confession of the saints. But stanza 3 is the deathbed confession that many pastors have heard as angels hovered in the room, ready to carry home the one who, by God's grace, loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.